This is the first Sunday of the Advent season for 2025. And on the first Sunday, we light what is typically referred to as either the candle of hope or the prophecy candle. It is one of the purple candles, and purple represents the royalty of Jesus Christ. So Anza and I just have a short little reading that we want to read as we light this candle. And as we light this candle, I want you both, I want us all, to reflect upon our hope, why we have hope for Christmas, why we have hope in God. And I pray that the Lord will bless us to explore that hope a little bit more. As we begin the Advent season, we light the first candle, the candle of hope. In the darkness of this world, God's promises of hope shines bright.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
From a child's perspective, light one candle in the night, hope in God will lead us right. A child will come to be our light, shining brightly in the night.
O God, light of our salvation, as we light this first candle of Advent, remind us of the hope you bring in the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Again, I want to ask you to pray for me as we go through our message this morning. At Thanksgiving, one of the themes that we wanted to focus on was about how much we have to be thankful for and what our focus should be, and it should be on God, how it is that God gives us everything that we have in our lives, everything we have in our lives. And especially as we try to count all those things that we have to be thankful for, it's impossible to make it through that list. You can never count all of our blessings. But we need to try. There's just something about this season, and it's almost like it falls on two different camps of people. When Thanksgiving comes, followed on its heels, especially it came late this year, and then followed right on the heels of that is our Christmas season. For some people, it is the most joyful time of year. They're just happy. I love to see the old movies where people are just walking down the streets, the bells are ringing, everybody's joyful and happy. Some of the more modern day movies are reflecting the same thing. And the closer we get to Christmas, it seems like the happier people get. But for some other people, be it work-related or whatever it may be, the end of school, there's lots of other things that divert our focus away from the true meaning of the season for both Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And our focus it happens to believers too. We can't help it because we're physical people and we have responsibilities in this world. Brother Pat and I were talking, I'm not going to be able to go to the minister school, I'm going to be in Ohio at the same time. And it really grieves my heart. And I'm praying over that situation to change quickly. But it's just an example of how sometimes we get so caught up in our worldly life, we shift our focus. And that's true when we start thinking about the true nature of Christmas. And I have a couple of examples of how I want us to consider that as you reflect on your life. You see, the more we become embroiled in trying to shoulder the responsibilities we have of life, where do we find our hope and trust is? Sometimes it's in the world, isn't it? If we just have to be honest. We're hopeful for all these things from the physical perspective. And we're trusting maybe for relying on other people for them to shoulder their responsibilities if you work in tandem with other people at work. Or perhaps it's just family members you're trusting. Well, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And we're getting focused on everything else except God. And we're hopeful for other things outside the spiritual realm and everything that is important in this season. In Psalms, we find this throughout the Bible. You could have chosen 100 different passages. I just chose this one. And the more you read the Psalms, at least to me, the more wisdom I see in David. And what wonderful writings we have, and there's so much to learn there. But in Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And we find ourselves, we put confidence in one another, but should that confidence come before God? Obviously not. we find that as we go through the Scriptures. Again, there's unnumbered amounts of Scriptures where we can find the same thought. Our confidence needs to be in God. But again, sometimes we put our confidence in other things. And David also illuminates this, I feel like, in Psalm 39, about what we should hope on, or in. And especially as I think David, in his older days, he looked back on life. I don't know how old he was when he wrote this psalm. But in this psalm, we see sometimes ourselves, or we see other people, and we see the vanity of life. But here David is praying to God. And folks, this is something that we need to, I think, let it be a reality check for us. Take this psalm and learn from it. Apply it to our lives and see then what is most important and what is it that we hope in. Lord, make me my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Now, we lit the candle of hope, and so I want you to be reflective on yourself and to be honest with yourself. What are you hoping for at this day, in this season? You know, we all have our hopes and dreams and things maybe that works out for other people. But where is your main focus and thought? What is your hope? You know, in a quick synopsis of this psalm, David is looking at the life that we all sometimes live, all the hustle and bustle and the busyness, doing everything we can to accumulate wealth. And what good is it going to do us? We won't even know who gains a benefit from them, possibly. That's the vanity of life. Why are we so focused on just the material? And boy, isn't that apt for the commercialism of Christmas. We're only focused on the material aspects of it. And that's crept into churches too. You know, all the prosperity things that you hear preached. What about the spiritual need? Where's our hope, folks? David was looking beyond he was looking at the big picture. You know, as we get older, we recognize he's so accurate. Our life is but a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. So what should be the main focus? Our hope should be in God. And there's so many beneficial things for hoping. Now, we all know what hope is, but do we hope for the right things? But something that I think that we all take for granted is how powerful hope is. Hope sustains us in the hard times of life, doesn't it? You know, I can't help but thinking about how pain and difficulty turns us up to look to God. You see, we start hoping when we feel like some things are out of our control and how difficult things are, how they could get even worse. I think about the bad situation in the Ukraine right now. How many people are hoping for the war to end or for peace to come? We have to pray. But can you imagine yourself in the position of those families whose lives have been ruined, who have lost family members, homes destroyed, having to move from one area to another, winter's coming, and the power grid has been, you know, basically demolished. Russia's having troubles too. It's just not reported to the same degree. All the pain and the suffering. Folks, when that pain and that suffering comes, where do we look to? We look to God. The most impactful thing that we can do is to pray for all those involved in that war. That God's will be done, number one, and for God to touch the heart of anybody that can make the right decisions. That those people will pray to God and say, God, lead me and show me your will. We need to be praying for that. Folks, there's always been very, very difficult times in life. And it brings us back to hope. I looked back and I shared this with you in 2017. The passage I'm about to read, I just was filling in. for Brother Pat. But this particular reading has stuck with me, because when you really start thinking about hope, how strong it is and what it does for people. Let me read it to you again. This was written by a Jewish rabbi who was 7 or 8 years old, and he was in Auschwitz in the concentration camps. And he had other people there with him too. His name is Hugo Grin, and so as he got older and he moved to Israel, he shared his experiences of what he had to endure in Auschwitz. And he goes on to say, food supplies were meager, if they had anything at all. And inmates took care to preserve every scrap that came their way. And you all have seen pictures over the years. They were just starved really to death. When the festival of Hanukkah arrived, Hugo's father took a lump of margarine. A lump of margarine. And to the horror of young Hugo, who thought he was about to have something good to eat, used it as fuel for light to light a candle at the festival. When he asked his father why, his father replied, and this is real, because they went through this. His father replied, "We know that it is possible to live for 3 weeks without food. But without hope, it is impossible to live properly for 3 minutes." You see, that's the power of hope, folks. It gives us the ability to push on and go forward and go through what seems like insurmountable odds and terrible things. The people in the Ukraine are hoping and praying, and we need to pray with them. They're not hoping in themselves, they're hoping in God. And folks, that brings us back to us today. You know, life can be very cruel, but life can be so wonderful. It can be so rewarding. It can be so fulfilling. All we have to do, Anza and I were blessed to have our grandchildren. You just look at the joy and the sweetness and little kids that young, how great life is. But we know sadness comes, sicknesses and things come. This is a sin-cursed world. So because of that curse from sin, we will always have things that we find disappointing and discouraging. But there is hope. And there's hope in a source, in something greater than ourselves. We have hope in God. So what is it that we're hoping for? When we truly get down to it, we're hoping in God's promises, aren't we? His promises that the Bible tells us cannot fail. And as we come into Advent and we light this candle of hope, we have so many promises that we draw from the Bible. And I want to start sharing those promises with you. We are hopeful because we believe God's promises. They're not just wishful thinking. We have a record of promises that God made, prophecies that God made, and they've already been fulfilled. You see, it's not that we hope in ourselves and we hope in stories from other people. We hope in the promises of God. So now I want to share them with you. And it's already come to pass. And folks, you know these passages. They're in your hearts, I pray. But we need to hear them audibly spoken, and we need to grab hold of them. Because when God made a promise, the promise would come true at the right time. But you need to think about your relationship with God, because God made promises to you as His children. What is Christmas all about? How does that promise relate to us? You see, it should be joyful and uplifting when we start hoping in God. And when we see the evidence in God's promises that what He has promised will come to pass. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever." If we didn't read anything else, God will send Jesus Christ. He will save us from our sins. His reign will never end. It will be forever. Folks, we are in the hand of God. We are His children. Why did God do it? Because He loved us. He went to say, I didn't finish the last little sentence. The zeal of the Lord will perform. It's the zeal. That means the love that God has for His people because He spoke it, and He will redeem His people from the sins of this world. It is God's will to do it. He sent a Son because He loved us. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. See, He promised it. Isaiah prophesied it hundreds of years before it happened. And he said, this will be the sign. And we know it all came and it all happened. So it should make us hopeful. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, meaning God be with us. He came. We know He came. That's the reason why we celebrate Christmas, because Jesus Christ came. But we have more confirmation. And you know, when God makes a promise, it's not that, at least that I can find, it's validated somewhere else in the Bible too. We have affirmation and reaffirmation. One supports the other. Scripture supports itself. Because God has spoken it, it will come to pass. So we should be hopeful because God promised it. And then in Matthew, can you put yourself, you ladies, in Mary's place, a young teenager, and the angel appeared to her and started to tell her these things. Can you put yourself in Joseph's place? An angel appeared to him. All these because God promised. God prophesied and it was about to come to pass. Well, now the time would to fulfill it. You know, in one of the passages we read in Isaiah, those who live in darkness have seen a great light. It was 400 years between the last prophet of the Old Testament and the coming of Jesus Christ. You might say that was a long, long period of darkness without God's Word. But now the light was coming, and that light is Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 1, 21 through 25, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, God is with us. What is it we hope in? We don't hope in it. We shouldn't be hoping in man. We shouldn't be hoping in just our own abilities. We should be hoping in God. We have God's promise. He prophesied it. He spoke it through various prophets, and it came to pass. And we have a record of it in the Gospel of Matthew, of Jesus being born, because God loves us. You see, it needs to be very personal at Christmas. God loves us. We can never say it too much. God loves His children, and He sent His only begotten Son because He loves us. He loves me and you. And folks, He knows your story. Wherever you're at right now in your life of worship and just life in general, God knows what you need. He knows your circumstances. He knows when your faith is weak. And He knows that we can't carry every burden in this life by ourselves. You see, we need hope. We need to hope and trust in God. We need to look up and we need to look back at the record that we have of His promises. And let that inspire us and give us the hope, as we read from that rabbi, that we can't live properly without 3 minutes without being trusting and sustaining in God's Word and in His promises. It all happened because He prophesied it. Ephesians 2 tells us a contrast here. You see, you think about us. You think about the Gentiles at that time, the people when this was written, who were seeing the great light, who previously had no hope whatsoever. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for Jesus, because Jesus was going to come to be a light for the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, that at that time you were without Christ. And for folks, all those people without Christ, this still applies. For you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promises, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now we know the Christmas story, and we know why God is coming, and Ephesians is telling us we have redemption through Jesus, through His blood. That's why we have hope, because He came. He came. But without Him, there's a stark contrast. Without Christ, we have no hope. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can obtain what? Hope in God, in His promise. If He made all these other promises, there's more that comes that applies to us, that makes us hopeful. We have hope through Him. Going back to Isaiah, going back to the Old Testament, he prophesies more. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. That's me and that's you folks. There's not a person here that I know of that was born in a Jewish family. We are the Gentiles. And in Romans here, Paul is quoting Isaiah in Romans 15, verses 12 and 13. He says, and again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have hope because we have faith in our hearts and the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope, folks. That means that we hope in God, and we turn our sights and our thoughts to God, and we don't trust in people like David said. We don't trust in the confidence in men. No, we trust and hope in God. We have hope because this life, as wonderful as it is, there's something so much better. We have hope in Christ. You know, it says in the Scripture to bring justice. Jesus will reign forevermore. When we think about all the injustices of this life, one day, at the appropriate time, that's all going to be over. And God will call into account all the injustices, and they will be rectified. You see, our hope is in God and what He's promised. And He has promised us these things. Let's continue on. It says here, abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we focus on God, we can abound in hope even when our circumstances are difficult, like the rabbi shared in Auschwitz. Like I believe people are doing right now over in the Ukraine. They're still hopeful. They're still praying. They're not giving up. We don't know what the ultimate results and endpoint of this war will be, but they have hope in God. And hope gives us the ability to persevere. When it says abound in hope, we should be happy. That's what abounding is. A part of abounding is being happy, being confident, trusting in God, and persevering because of faith in His promises. So are we abounding in our life? Are we despairing? You see, it's easy to turn our hearts and our focus away from God's promises. We need to be focusing on His promises. Romans chapter 8, 24 through 25. For we were saved in this hope. But hope is that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. You know, if I want to kind of put a little my application of this. When we all get to heaven, we're not going to be hoping anymore. Because we'll be seeing, won't we? But we hope now for that blessed time when we will be with the Lord. And folks, you know, when this was written to the church, you think about the believer that had just been converted back then. They were being persecuted by the Jews who didn't like that they converted. They were under occupation by the Roman soldiers. They were living in lands where there were a lot of Greek and other influences who didn't like him either. They just had enemies all around them. Their hope wasn't in to live the life of gluttony in this world. No, their hope was in God. And that something good was coming. And all that good is coming through Jesus Christ. And that same hope needs to be in us. And that's where our focus needs to be. It needs to be on the Lord. We can persevere, folks. when we turn to God in our hearts and we pray and we trust in Him, that's when we are abounding. And we have to remember, as a believer, the Holy Spirit will answer, will lead us when we pray. So we can trust in His leadership. You know, we lit this candle of hope. We're hoping that the Holy Spirit will shine brightly in us, won't we? Isn't that what we want as believers? For our faith to grow, to become stronger and to mature in Christ and understanding of things? But, you know, lighting that candle, and if we take the application I just said of that candle burning in us, burning brightly in us, you see, that needs to be hope for others. I just have to wonder how much hope has Brother Sasha and all those around him spread to other people by sharing God's Word at this very difficult time. You see, he's a candle of light. When that light's burning, when it's in you, if it's in me, when it's in all of God's believers, we become beacons of hope. Because people's eyes are turned towards the light that a candle gives us. If we shutter these windows and turn out all the lights and it's pitch black and you light one candle, every eye is going to look at that candle. We look to the light. And folks, we need to have beacons of light. I believe that as the Holy Spirit is within us, when we hope in God and we are growing in faith, we become beacons of light. And hope to other people. And as you might say, we have a commission. The commission, I think, is for us to share our light with other people. Share our faith with other people. How do you inspire hope in another person? If we hope in God, you know, the Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. When you love your neighbor, how can you love them any more than through the act of sharing your faith? It's the most loving thing we can do. We share our faith. We tell somebody else about our faith in God and our trust in God and about God's promises. You see, it's not just about us, but it's about what God did and the evidence we have in His written Word of the promises He made about Jesus Christ coming. He was coming to save us from our sins. So we have hope that we can be delivered from this evil world. And when we do that, when we share this hope, we encourage other people. We are doing what God created us to do. In Isaiah 43:21, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. You see, in that one little statement, there's a lot kind of hidden in there. This people, with this people that I formed for myself, that's God's children. That's you if you are a believer. Everybody here, these are the people that God is referring to. And He is telling us that we shall praise Him. We shall show forth and declare His praise. You see, we become a beacon of hope when we do that. When we're praising God, even in hard circumstances, other people become encouraged. They become hopeful, don't they? Because God is higher than us. We're not saying that we hope in ourselves. We hope in God. And when we hope in God, we need to share that hope and faith and praise Him from others. And you know, that I believe this applies to us collectively as a church. When the light is shining brightly in individuals, and then we come together collectively as a church, we need to eagerly be sharing the story of salvation, of this gospel that we have of Jesus Christ with other people. We need to, folks, we have work to do. We need to find ways to share this story with other people in this community, because there's people that walk up and down this church. I've seen several since we've started this morning. Walk up and down. Driving in, we see people riding bikes out, enjoying the day, whatever. We have work to do to praise God. Let the results of that be up to the Lord, whatever happens. But we have work to do. We need to be praising God in this community. We need to be a beacon of hope and share this gospel story, because all those people I just mentioned, there's some of them don't know a thing about it. They may have heard the name Jesus Christ, but don't have a clue. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We need to share the story of Jesus. Collectively, when a church does that, we will be praising God. And folks, that's what we need to do, because our hope is in God. And you know, it's also the hope of salvation is for the people that we love, for those who have not come to Jesus. I believe that as the church, the following statement that Jesus made applied to us individually, but it applied to the church. Let me share it from Matthew. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, folks, for us to glorify God as a church collectively, our light needs to be visible, and it needs to be audible. It needs to be heard. We need to get our message out somehow through different various social media programs that we haven't tapped into yet. We need to have a much more visible presence in this community. We need to be inviting people to church. We've done all this before, and people say, what's the use? It doesn't matter what the use is. If we do it because God told us to shine forth and praise Him. And when we do that, He will bless us through some way. Our hope is in God. It's not in ourselves. It's not in efforts we've done in the past. You see, we were given today, and if Lord willing, we'll be given tomorrow. So we have work to do. We need to be praising God. And you know what I think may apply to a lot of the people here in this area? When we give hope by sharing the gospel, the salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ with other people, there's people in this area I think need to hear it, that it's not limited to just a few wealthy people walking down in this area. The gospel of salvation is for all people. And that word needs to go out to all people. And God's children will respond. Not everybody that hears it will respond, but at some point in their life, if God's children hear it, they will respond. And it needs to go out. We have work to do. We need to give hope. Jesus tells us in Luke 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not a person walking up and down this road, if they're not a believer in Christ right now, they are lost. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the message of love. They may have heard this and forgot it. They may have memorized it, but it means nothing to them because the Holy Spirit hasn't touched their heart, so they need to hear it again. Why do we believe it? Because we hope in God. We all hope, and it comes down to this one, I think, universal scripture that is the most commonly quoted. But when you break it down, folks, how much more hope can we have? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that what we hope in? And what's the other part of that scripture, though, that gets glossed over? You know, the evil in this world is always wanting to find a way to misconstrue and gloss over God's Word and twist it just a little bit. It's whoever believes. God's children will believe. We know that. God's children will believe. But believe. Faith and hearing, the Scripture tells us, comes from preaching. But that's not exclusive just to inside this church. It needs to be outside this church. It needs to be coming from you beacons of light. By the way you live your life, your example. And by sharing your faith through other people. There's nothing more loving that we can do, again, than by sharing God's Word, because that gives hope to people who need to hear it. It gives hope that the Lord loves us. John tells us that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John. You see, you talk about hope. We talk about those people that don't know Him. But He says this, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. You see, it's not just like the Jews thought, limited to an aristocratic group of people. There's a lot of desperate people that need to hear the Word. They need to hear the gospel. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Because God loved us, folks, there's so much we need to read and insert into these parts. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at that last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise Him up at that last day. What do we hope for, folks? We hope for eternity with God. Other people need to hear the reason why we hope. 1 Peter said, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we hope in. So now as we close, I just want to share one final description of that eternal hope that we have. We hope in Jesus Christ. We hope at Christmas because God loves His people. We have proof and evidence of His promises coming to be fulfilled. So every word He's spoken will be fulfilled. Every prophecy that He has spoken will come to pass at the right time. And John wrote about it in Revelations, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. This is the culmination of our hope. We won't have to hope anymore after this. But until this time comes, we have the description that makes us all the more hopeful. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see all those injustices we talked about, all the things that get us down. They're all going to be taken care of, and they will be no more. Our hope is in God, because He sent us Jesus Christ. I pray that through the main part of this Christmas season, that you will spend time in the Scriptures, spend time in prayer, spend time in thanking God. It's still a season of thanksgiving. Thanking God for all of your blessings. Thank Him for the gift of faith. Thank Him in advance for Him revealing Himself through the Scriptures that you will read. And may He bless His reading, and may it give you all the more reason to be hopeful in Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessings, is my prayer.